There's a major shaila discussed regarding this year about the wine. It's really relevant to primarily next year, but also if you have from this year, depending on when the produce is created and grown of grapes. So it's much more of a shaila for next year. But we do find ourselves in the Shemitah year, and it's important to talk about something that's relevant already next year from before Pesach, which is the usage of wine that's wine of Shemitah, wine that has Kedusha Shvi'is. The wine that has Kedusha Shvi'is is really a shiloh that a person should really raise whether or not he could use it for Havdalah. Havdalah, there is a practice, the Ramah records, that people spill over their wine to be a source of bracha. It's not entirely clear. Menusei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch discuss why that is automatically a source of bracha. Some assume that the answer is because if you're not makbid about the amount of wine that you have, so you look like an asher, and therefore that's a source of simen bracha. The Taz says that that's not the pshat. I think this Taz is a fascinating Taz. Kedai to tell every chassan and kala before you get married this Taz. The Taz says that the source of simen bracha, when a person spills some wine, and there's quiet, there's silence, no one screams, no one yells, no one gets upset, and no one reacts. That's a source of bracha. That's the way to start your week at Havdalah, is a source of bracha. Similarly, I thought, according to this Taz, that perhaps that could be the minig also of breaking the glass underneath the chuppah. That even though there's going to be shattered glass, and even though sometimes glass will break and things will be unexpected, but we're still going to go on dancing, we're still going to go on singing, we're still going to go on in harmony and march towards the yichud room together, even though the glass is shattered. However, there is a major discussion, both when it comes to Havdalah and when it comes to specifically Dam Tzvardeya, to use Yayin Shel Shvi'is, because the Torah says that the wine of Shemitah is La'achla V'loy La'hefsid. Is that an example of something that you're now being mafsid? You are now getting rid of fruits of Shemitah that have an obligation to be eaten and not to be lost and not to be mafsided. So some of the poskim debate by Havdalah, perhaps that's its normal usage. Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul has a Tshkula. But many poskim are makbid about it and not to spill it. Although one could argue by Havdalah that you're allowed to drink the wine when it comes to Havdalah that's spilled over. So what's necessarily the problem? Others argue, there's a Ma'arid al-Ghazi that says that the sheer of Isser of Lehefsid, of Mafsid Perishvias, is only a Kezias. And the amount of wine that you're spilling over is going to be less than a Kezias. Why would one argue that the shear that one is not allowed to be mafsid and lose when it comes to Kedusha Shvi'is, Perish Shvi'is, is only a Kezias? The answer is because the source is La'achla. Achila is always Kezias. You should eat the fruits of Shvi'is. And Achila is always Kezias. However, not everyone agrees to this Ma'arid al-Ghazi, and most poskim are makvid that we shouldn't even be mafsid a kol shehu in Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha Shemitah, and therefore that's not necessarily going to help us out. So although it's a lighter shiloh, but it is still a shiloh when it comes to Havdalah, when it comes to the yayin that we used for the Asara Makas, the Dam Tzvardeya, no one has the practice to drink that. What the representation of that wine is, of the Dam that's spilled for the Umos HaOilom, we try to stay away from drinking that wine. We don't reuse that wine. And that is a more serious shiloh of La'achla V'loy La'hefset. So there are big shilohs when it comes to using the wine of Shemitah for Dalet Kosos. But the truth is that the shilohs don't just stop when it comes to the Makas and the Minig of Dam Tzvardeya, Kinim Aruv. There's a much more fundamental shiloh that the Yerushalmi raises when it comes to using the Yayin of Shemitah for Dalet Kosos. And that is in source number one. Mahu Lotzeis V'Yayin Shel Shvi'is. Yerushalmi raises a one-liner, and we're going to focus on this one line for the entire shir. What is the din to be yotzei the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos with wine of Shemitah. Says Rav Oshia, Tana Rav Oshia, Yoytze Miyayin Shal Shvius, you are allowed to be Yoytze with the wine of Shemitah. But when you see a line like this, you can't just walk away and say, okay, great, not a problem. What did the Yerushalmi think originally? What was the suffix? The Yerushalmi is now suggesting that there's not only a problem to spill out the wine, there's a problem to use the wine for the Dalet Kosos to drink the wine. Now that's startling. Why should that be an issue? Why should there be a problem? I drink the wine of Shemitah all the time. I eat grapes all the time of Shemitah. Why not? And yet the Yerushalmi has a suffix that perhaps you're not Yotze, the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, with the wine of Shemitah. Rav Oshia comes to the rescue, and Rav Oshia says, no, it's not what you thought. And really, you could be Yotze, the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, with the wine of Shemitah. Meikara Maika Sover, Ulu B'Soif Maika Sover. What changed? What was the Havamina? What was the Maskon? So the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, the Rashi and Tosis, the Karbanei Eda, the Pnei Moshe, that surround the Yerushalmi, try to offer different suggestions on shedding light into this on this Yerushalmi. Karban Eida says, "Ma'al latzeis b'yayin shel shviyas." Says the Karban Eida, "Kaven deloy karinon be'lachem." Perhaps says the Karban Eida, "It's not considered yours, and you need to own your dalet kosos, the wine of the dalet kosos." Now I have a few issues with this Karban Eida. Number one, where in the world did you get this concept that you have to own your dalet kosos? There's no Gemara that says that. There's no source for that. Adarav Rav Osei, anyone who was here last year can remember that it's not even sure, it's not even clear amongst the Rishonim if what?
Matzah.
If matzah you need to own. We have to paskin like the Rosh against the Rambam that you have to own it. And we had a Gantza Pilpul, the Ha'ara of the Sfas Emes, mamish a year ago. Yeah, it was mamish a year ago. That's what we did Erev Pesach. Sugi, we did Erev Pesach. How do you, Jack, right? How are you kind of the matzah when you eat by your shver, when you eat by your relatives? What's going on over there? It's not a sugya for now. It's a sugya for last year. A sugya, you can. Maybe we'll do it another time. But it's not even pashut that you need it by when it comes to matzah. It's a whole sugya in Pesachim, daf lamed ches, sugya in Sukkah, daf lamed ches. But not clear what the conclusion of that gemara is. But Dalet Kosos never even heard of such a thing. And yet, Rav Osei, I still have a problem. Even if the Karban Eid is right. Comes along the Rashash in source number 4 and he says, what? You're trying to tell me that Shemitah is not yours? Then you got much bigger issues. Because guess what? There's one mitzvah that everyone agrees has to be yours. And that's taking the Dalet Minim when? On the first day next year's Sukkot. And we're going to have a lot of Sukkot. And I'm sure you guys are going to ask to do it before Sukkot. We're going to have to say, oh, what are we doing with all these imports from Eretz Yisrael? Shemitah Esroigim, how do we do it? Is it usher for you to buy it? Is it, oh, great, Rav Meisher, Rav Shlomo Zalman. There's a lot of arichas, a lot of lumdis, Mirtz Hashem, when it comes to next Sukkot. But bottom line, at the end of the day, there's Mishnayis, there's Gemaras and Sukkah that say, once you get around the business issues, Avad, it's Lachem. Avad, it's yours. Why is Shemitah not mine? Shemitah's mine, right? Maybe I have to be mafkir, but I could be koined again, and it could be mine. So why is the Karban Eida saying automatically anything that's of Shemitah is considered, oh, you don't own it, and it's not lachem? Apella, tzarchi and gadol, mitzvah liyashiv, to be mazber this Karban Eida. Any other options had explained this Yerushalmi? So it says the Pnei Moshe, and the Pnei Moshe says, no, you misunderstood the Yerushalmi. Yeah, it's true, you're allowed to eat Peir Shvius. That's true. But you have to understand a little bit of background for Shemitah, Rabbi Sin. We're going to hopefully now delve into and connect to some of the laws that are very relevant for those that are living in Eretz Yisrael and understand what Shemitah is and are involved with this, that we don't always get the same interaction, and now we have to use these sugyas to try to gain insight. It's true you're allowed to eat Peir Shemitah, but there's an expiration. And there's a certain zman that you're allowed to eat Peir Shemitah. And there's a certain time that food becomes usur if the right thing is not dealt with and the peiros are not dealt with in the right way. And that's what's called the zman biur. And there's no set time for each fruit when that zman biur is. If you go around in people's houses in Eretz Yisrael now, people who are makban on Kedusha Shvius, they will have on their fridge doors a magnet that will have different dates for different fruits. that are telling you when the Zman Bi'ur is for each and every fruit, for tomatoes and for oranges and for apples and for pears, all different fruits at different times. Mishnayos and Shemitah go through the Zman Bi'ur for different fruits. What is Zman Bi'ur? What's that all based on? So the Torah and Parshas Bahar, we're going to read in a few weeks, tells us that you're allowed to eat Shemitah kol Zman that it's accessible l'chayas ha'aretz. But when it's kala l'chayas ha'aretz, when the animals do not have access to those fruits anymore, then it's usher for me to take part and to benefit from those fruits unless I mevayer those fruits. Now, what does mevayer those fruits mean is a million-dollar question. The Rambam is of the opinion that mevayer is exactly parallel to what we understand bior as bior chametz, like we're going to do in a few days, which is destroy those fruits. You no longer can have those fruits in your house anymore, and you have to burn it, you have to destroy it. That's the sheet of the Rambam, that's the sheet of many Svardim that follow the Rambam. However, the Chazon Ish told us that we follow the opinion of the Ramban. And the Ramban had a different approach, Taisus also had a different approach, and they understood that what Bior just meant to be mafkirin. You have to go outside. You can't leave it anymore in the cabinets of your house. You have to go outside, meet three people, like we learned in Taisus and Psachim Adav Aladim and Beis, and you have to tell them, I am now giving you access to the food in my house, and it's accessible to you, and it's hefker, and that is the way a person fulfills beer. If a person does not fulfill beer, and a person drinks that wine or has fruit after this amount of beer without the bialim taking care of beer, that fruit and those foods are usher to benefit from and usher to eat. So says the Pnei Moshe, perhaps that's the Pshat in the Yerushalmi. And that was the whole discussion over here. If so, Rabbi said we need a little bit of explaining to do, so then what's the maskana of the Rabbi Oshia and the conclusion of the Yerushalmi telling us that what? You're allowed to drink the wine of Shvius and it's not a problem. It's after the Zman Bi'ur, that should probably be a violation of eating Peir Shvius after the Zman Bi'ur. You can't get benefit from that. Comes along the Taklin Chadosin, also a parish on the page of the Yerushalmi, and he says, oh no, I'll tell you the Maskan of the Yerushalmi. I'll tell you what Rav Oshi was saying. This is a mitzvah. And the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Chesem et Aleph, right? Mitzvah Slav Lehenis Nidnu. That mitzvahs are given as obligations, and they're not considered benefit, deriving benefit when you're using a mitzvah to fulfill your obligation. Mitzvahs lav lehenesnit. Good. So that's the Masana of Rav Oshia. You thought you weren't allowed to because it's past the expiration. Kamash malon, don't worry about it because it's a mitzvah and mitzvahs lav lehenesnit. However, Rav Oshia, this is very problematic. Why is this very problematic? Number one, from a textual standpoint. If the Yerushalmi meant in a specific year that it was after the Zman Bi'ur, which is, by the way, in terms of the date and the calendar, will be next year Pesach, because the Zman Bi'ur for grapes is when? Erev Pesach of the eighth year. It's all based on the time that the growth of the grapes happens. So that's going to affect next year's Pesach. So the Zman Bi'ur will be Erev Pesach next year. And that's the case the Yerushalmi is referring to. You left your wine around after the Zman Bi'ur. You didn't take care of beer, and now you want to know it could be Yotze Dalakos. Why could you be Yotze Dalakos? Comes along Rav Oshia and he says, what's the problem? It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah lad lehenes nidnu, and I'm not benefiting from this wine. Good? Bad. Says Rav Tzipei Pesach Frank, this is very problematic. This is not necessarily a good pshat. Why? What's the reason? First of all, says Rav Tzipei Pesach Frank, and this is not muskum according to everyone, but Rav Tzipei Pesach Frank assumes like this. When the Gemara introduces to us the klal of mitzvah lav lehenesnin, who says Ratzi Pesach Frank, which is a geshmaka sugya, Rabbi Yisrael, kedai to learn up that sugya, a real festa sugya, but Ratzi Pesach Frank assumes that that's a heter b'dievet, but l'chadchila, you're not allowed to partake and to be nene with the permission of mitzvah lav lehenesnin. So that's initially a problem that the Gemara is, that the Ratzi Pesach Frank says for the Yerushalmi to tell us, you can lechadchila use yayin shal shviyas lechadchila with the assumption of mitzvah slav lehenes nidnu. That is a tremendous assumption, and that's not something that we would want to run away with. However, then Rav Tzipi Pesach Frank says a little bit of a lumdus that's also a tremendous attack on this taklin chadasim, and that is that What type of mitzvahs did the Gemara say that you're allowed to derive benefit through mitzvahs lav lehenes din? The Gemara says there in Rosh Hashanah that a person who goes into a mikvah, the mosak shamim, is allowed to say mitzvahs lav lehenes din, and he could use the mikvah if he asr the mikvah bahana, and it was something that was asr. So the Gemara says, b'mosak shamim, in the winter you could use the mikvah, but in the summer you can't use the mikvah. What's the difference? Ask the Rishonim. Mitzvahs lav lehenes din, no matter how you slice it. B'mosak shamim, b'mosak hama, a mitzvah's a mitzvah. Why should I distinguish between the date, the calendar, the time, what weather it is? What's the difference? Comes along the Ran in the Dharm and he says a fascinating chiddush. He says, mitzvahs lav lehenes din is a permissibility where you're only deriving hana from the mitzvah itself. So now the question is, the fact that I'm now pottering my obligation with something that's asr b'hana, is that going to be a violation of isr hana? Or do you say, mitzvahs lav lehenes din? So that's a good idea that the Gemara runs with and says, mitzvahs are given to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not considered being nene. But what happens if in addition to the mitzvah, a person's getting a major geshmak out of this mitzvah? There's some real hanos aguf that's coming out of this mitzvah. It's a boiling, schmoiling hot day, and now I'm going to jump into this mikvah that I asered with a neder, behana. Can now I rely on the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu? Says the Ran, how can you rely on mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu? You're enjoying yourself. In addition to the mitzvah, you're getting hanos aguf over here, so therefore, how could you apply mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu? So therefore, if Tzipi Zach Frank thinks that the option of the Pnei Moshe, the Taklin Chadosin, is also a very difficult pshat, very difficult to wrap your fingers around, to really rely on mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu on the conclusion of the Gemara. I want to add to Rav Tzipi Zach Frank's attack on this pshat, is that also it's very not clear, and a person needs to learn this also in the sugyas in that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but the Baal HaMor points out that the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu might not apply to mitzvahs de rabbanon. It might only apply to mitzvahs de oraisa. Over here, we're discussing mitzvah de rabbanon, or the mitzvah of dalet kosos. So the application of mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu is also in question, and a major machlokes rishonim whether or not we apply the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes dinu to rabbinic mitzvahs, to mitzvahs de rabbanon. Are there any other suggestions that are options to how to understand this Yerushalmi? So, it's a tremendous zchus to be able to learn his Torah, as we learned last week, Rabbi Yisai, about the Chassam Sofer and the Shmira that Reb Chaim had on our door, as we spoke about. So now we're going to learn a pshat of Reb Chaim in source number 6. And what's pshat in this Yerushalmi? Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, the pshat is as follows. Perhaps the pshat is, Yerushalmi had a totally different suffix. Yes, it has to do with Zman Bir, but it's not exactly the way we present it. It's post the expiration, it's next year Pesach. It's past the Zman Bir. Yerushalmi's suffix was this. After the Zman Bir, having a lot of the fruits around in your cabinet is a problem. But there is a permissibility of having basic amount in your house. You're allowed to have the amount that sustains you for the next muzen shtei sudas, for the next two meals, the day, a daily amount of food to eat. So how much wine is the shear of muzen shtei sudas? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his Gaonis points out from a Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara discusses when you would, muzen gimel sudas, but the Gemara says in Erevin that when you would use wine for an Erev, so the Gemara says that a revius of wine is the amount of mazon for a suda, and the mazon of beis sudas for an eruv would be the amount of two reviuses. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, once I have that Yerushalmi that tells me every mazon is a one revius, and the amount that I'm allowed to keep around during beer, after beer, is Muslim Gimel Sudos. So now I have the calculation that I'm allowed to keep how much wine around in my house after this Zman Bir? 3 reviuses, right? 3 cups. But the problem is, says the Reb Chaim, I have a mitzvah tonight of 4 cups, 4 reviuses. So the Reb Chaim says, perhaps the suffix of the Yerushalmi was, Can Leil HaSeder, can we change the permissibility of post-Zman Bir, and even though on a regular night it would only be, what, 3 Revi'uses, tonight perhaps we can get one more cup worth in order to be Yoytze the Mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. And that was the Safek of Yerushalmi. Comes along Rav Moshe and says, yes, and although in general it's 3 Revi'uses, because of the Mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, the Shir of the Zman Revi'us also changes. Fascinating pshat, Rabbi Yisai. But once again, a little bit of a difficult pshat from a textual standpoint, because the Gemara never tells you that it's specifically speaking about La'achar Zman Bir. Are there any other pshat? So I'd like to share with you 2 other pshat that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank raises. One pshat is a fascinating pshat, which is also based on the idea of Mitzvah L'Balaver. Yerushalmi wanted to know that the halacha is that if you drink wine of Dalet Kosos not diluted, the halacha is your yotze. Yayin chai, your yotze, your mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. However, the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes from the Aderes, that the Aderes raised the question, the Aderes was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, he was the father-in-law of who?
Cook.
Of Cook. The Aderes said the following pshat on the Yerushalmi. He said, perhaps the Yerushalmi is talking about a situation where a person is drinking the wine that's not diluted. So what's the problem? Perhaps one could argue that now I'm fulfilling this mitzvah, haba ba'aveiro, because now I'm being mafsid perishvias to eat it in its abnormal way. The halacha is, you have to know how the normal way to eat certain fruits in Eretz Yisrael. If you eat something in an abnormal way, you're now violating la'achla v'la'efsid. You're now being mafsid, the payers of shriyas. So comes along the Aderes, and the Aderes suggests, wait a second, and this person is going to drink undiluted wine in an abnormal way, this might be a violation of la'achla v'la'efsid. So yeah, he's being mekayim the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, but he's being mekayim that mitzvah of Dalet Kosos when he's violating the iser of la'achla v'loy lehefsid. Comes along Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and he challenges this suggestion of the Aderes. Number one, he says, is this an example of a mitzvah of Avera? Usually we assume mitzvah of Avera is when there's a cheftza shel Avera. Yerushalmi itself has this language. There's a major discussion, specifically this year, Rabbi Yisai. It's nogeya, sugya, we don't have time to do it, but a sugya of mitzvah of Avera comes up this year. The Yerushalmi raises the question, what happens if a person carries without an Erev when Pesach falls out on Shabbos to eat his matzah in his home, but he did so through Hotzah, through Havaris Dalet Amos. So Yerushalmi says, isn't this an example of mitzvah haba ba'avera? And Yerushalmi says, no, this is not an example of a mitzvah ba'avera. And Yerushalmi uses a fascinating lashon. And he says, Taman gufa avera. When a person steals matzah, that's an example of a mitzvah ba'avera, because the matzah itself is a chefza shel iser, a chefza shel avera, then now you're utilizing that same entity for the mitzvah of matzah. Taman gufa avera. But over here, what happened over here? There's no problem in the chefza of the matzah. You, the gavra, brought it from one domain to the other in order to enable you to do this avera. That's not an example of a mitzvah of avera. This is a famous Yerushalmi that Reb Chaim Brisker made famous, that the Reb Chaim explained why the Rambam understands that if you steal a shofar, that you're not violating a mitzvah of Avera, because the kol, that the shofar itself is not the mitzvah, the kol is what's the mitzvah, and there's no cheftza shel Avera, like the Yerushalmi says, taman gufa Avera is not a problem over here, and therefore, says the Tzvi Pesach Frank, the same will be true in the Yayin Shel Shvi'is, that you're not actually making a cheftza shel Avera, it's not like a cheftza gozel, that now one would apply the din of mitzvah of Avera over here. Also, says Tzvi Pesach Frank, if one looks at the Tosfos in Masechet Sukkah, that talks about some of the criteria for mitzvah of Avera, the Tosfos says that the Avera is enabling the mitzvah. Over here, you can very easily drink wine that's diluted. You don't need specifically wine that's undiluted. The Avera is not enabling the mitzvah. It's not al yedei ha-Avera ba'a mitzvah. So therefore, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he thinks that this is a very questionable application of mitzvah of Avera. In addition to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's attack, I would just add that again, who says that the Yerushalmi suffix was only about undiluted wine? Who says that it was specifically Yayin Chai? It's true. The Yerushalmi earlier was talking about Yayin Chai, but when the Yerushalmi raises this issue, it doesn't seem to specify that it's talking about that type of wine, that the suffix would be about drinking undiluted wine. In addition, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and this is a very, very strong attack, he says, who says that drinking undiluted wine is an isser and a violation of la'achla v'lola hefsit? I make a bracha on undiluted wine, so it's not considered abnormal in terms of that. So maybe undiluted wine is also not a violation of la'achla, of being mafsid, peiros shvi'is. So these are some of the issues with all of the other suggestions of the achronim and how to understand this enigmatic Yerushalmi. Comes along with Tzipa Zafrank and he says a fascinating insight. He said, perhaps the pshat in the Yerushalmi is a totally different pshat, and it's based off of a Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the Ramban records the mitzvah's essay that the Rambam forgot to list. And the Ramban records an essay about the mitzvah of eating peiros shvi'is. According to this Ramban, Rabbi Yisai is a fascinating Ramban. It's not clear what the pshat in the Ramban is, but many Achronim think that if a person has a choice what to eat in Eretz Yisrael, he fulfills a mitzvah by eating the peiros of Shemitah. And a person can enable himself to fulfill that mitzvah by eating peiros shvi'is. So comes along with Tzvi Pesach Frank and he says, wait a second, this Ramban could pose a problem Leila Seder. Why would this Ramban pose a problem Leila Seder? The reason is for another issue that's relevant specifically to this year Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. What's the issue that the Gemara raises in Daf Kuf Beis and Maseches Pesachim this year, Leila Seder, when Pesach falls out on Shabbos in the second Seder? So the issue is that we have to make Havdalah when we make Kiddush. And the Gemara says, wait a second, that's not so simple. You're not supposed to do that. That's called killing two birds with one stone. Killing two birds with one stone is usually a concept that we're not a fan of when it comes to mitzvahs. We're a fan of that when you have chores, when you have obligations, when you have things that you don't want to be involved with and you don't want to get distracted with, and you want to do as little as possible. So we say, you know, lump them all into one basket and just try to kill two birds with one stone. But we don't do that when it comes to mitzvahs. And that's the concept that the Gemara has in Moedkotten and other areas. Einos mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. We don't like to stockpile mitzvahs and make it look like a burden and make it look like it's an inconvenience, and therefore we have to kill two birds with one stone. So the Gemara raises the Shiloh, when you make Kiddush the second night of Leil HaSeder this year, and you're going to make a Kiddush Yak Nahaz, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah, so aren't you killing two birds with one stone? Isn't that a violation of Einoy Semitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? So the Gemara answers to that Shiloh that no, Kiddush and Havdalah Chada Milsi. It's considered one entity, and that's the conclusion of the Gemara when it comes to this year Kiddush. I have a lot to say on that Gemara, but we don't have time to get into that the pshat in that Gemara. There is a discussion when it comes to Sheva Brachos. That's the reason why we get two kosos. When it comes to Sheva Brachos, that you shouldn't have the kos of Birkas HaMazon to be the same kos as Sheva Brachos because of Einos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. That's what Taisus raises on that Gemara in Kuf Beis and Mabez in Maseches Pesach. Comes along with Tzipi Zafrank and he says, maybe that issue is the very issue that we're discussing right now when it comes to using the Yayin Shel Shemitah when it comes to Dalet Kosos. Because according to the Ramban, you're fulfilling a mitzvah by eating the Peiros Shvi'is. If I'm fulfilling a mitzvah by eating the Peiros Shvi'is, then what? Says the Ramban, Tzipi Zafrank, because I'm fulfilling the mitzvah according to the Ramban, what? I'm also fulfilling the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. If they're happening at the one shot and the two independent mitzvahs, shouldn't that be a violation of Einos Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? That was the issue that Yerushalmi had. Kamash Malon that what? Kamash Malon that it's not, it's Inyan Echad. What's the Kamash Malon? What's Rabbi Oshia telling us? So, maybe one could argue that the Ramban's wrong. Or maybe we misunderstood the Ramban. There is no mitzvah to eat Peiros Shvi'is. First of all, the Ramban's the only one that said this. And it's a very big debate if the Ramban meant that there's a positive commandment. Perhaps the Ramban just meant he forgot an Isser essay that you're not allowed to lose the Perish B'Yis. The Ramban never necessarily said that there's a positive commandment. There's a Kiyum HaMitzvah to eat Perish B'Yis. This is a major discussion amongst the Poskim. The Shevet HaLevi has a whole tshuva how to understand this Ramban. Is there actually a Mitzvah Kiyumis to eat Perish B'Yis? And maybe where the whole entire premise is wrong. However, I think you could argue, and this is a little bit of a difficulty with the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, is that even if you accept that that's Pshat in the Ramban, is this a good application of Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? What's Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? Those are two mitzvahs that are mitzvah chiyuvis. Those are mitzvahs, obligatory mitzvahs. In the best case scenario, even if the Ramban meant that there's a mitzvah to eat Peir Shriyas, no one holds that there's a mitzvah chiyuvis. I'm not being mevatel a mitzvah's essay. The fact that this year I'm an American, I'm not eating Peir Shriyas. So bittul mitzvah's essay. It's not like not putting on tefillin or not eating matzah on Leil HaSeder. It's not a bittul mitzvah's essay. Where is Enos and mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? The Magen Avraham writes this v'feirish in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin. The Magen Avraham says, what's an example of Enos and mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? When you're stocking up and killing two birds with one stone on chiyuvim, and I'm making it look like a masoy, like a burden. But if it's a mitzvah chiyubis, so that's not going to be an example of a Enos and mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And another problem that I have with this application of Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas is based on a Chiddush of the Ksav Sefer. Is it Pashut that Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas apply to mitzvahs that are totally different tracks? One is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and one is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, d'alekosos. Who says that Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas apply when these two mitzvahs are totally different levels? Why would I argue that? Because like the Shagas Aryeh argues, a mitzvah derabbanan doesn't exist in the world of deraisa. Shagzari holds you could be makdim a mitzvah derabbanan to a mitzvah deraisa. It's not a zilzol in the deraisa. It's just you didn't start the mitzvah. You didn't do anything. That mitzvah derabbanan doesn't exist on the purview of the mitzvah deraisa. So similarly, when it comes to the issue of enos and mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, you're killing two birds with one stone. No, you're not. That mitzvah is non-existent. That mitzvah is a mitzvah derabbanan. Perhaps this is not a violation of enos and mitzvahs chavilos, chavilos. So I have a hard time, in addition to what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank brings himself and tries to defend himself, that the Gemara itself discusses eating matzah of Maaser Sheni. Why isn't that a violation of Enos Mitzvah Chavilos, Chavilos? Eating matzah of Truma. There's a mitzvah to eat Truma. They made a Kohanim made a bracha before they ate Truma. So why isn't that a mitzvah Chavilos, Chavilos? So the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank proves that he says, no, they're happening at two different times. One's happening in the Garon, one happening in the Me'ayim. The mitzvah of matzah is happening in the digestive tract, in the stomach. The mitzvah of eating truma, that's happening earlier in the Hanaz Garon. Fascinating chiddush that there are two different times based on two different mitzvahs achila when you're fulfilling that mitzvah. However, says the Tzvi Pesach Frank, when it comes to dalekosos, shemitah, and dalekosos, that's both happening in the Hanaz Garon. It's a fascinating mahalach. It's a shtickel dachuk, but I think that there's problems with this suggestion of Tzvi Pesach Frank, in addition the problems that I mentioned earlier. Rabbeisai, there are many different pshatim here in the Yerushalmi. You see a lot of achronim struggling in this Yerushalmi, but I think there's difficulties with every pshat. And I'm going to quote you the final pshat I didn't put on the Marmar Kaimis. This is a fascinating pshat of the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach had a fascinating pshat. And this is part of the grape juice hack. Whether or not you're Yoytze Kiddush with grape juice, the discussion stems from a Gemara Bava Basra, actually. Later on, I think it's on Datsadi Pes, the Gemara raises the issue of whether or not you're Yoytze with wine, and the Rambam Paskins in the conclusion of this Gemara, that you need wine to be Yoytze Kiddush for Kiddush, Yayin Haroi Lenasech Al Gabe Mizbeach. You need wine that's able to be used as libations on the Mizbeach. Comes along the Or Sameach and he says, you know what the Yerushalmi Shaila was? Yerushalmi Shaila was this Yayin of Shvius is not Yayin Haroi L'Nasich Al Gav Mizbeach. Why not? Because it's going to be a violation of the same issue of La'achla V'Layla Hefzit. Burnt up wine is going to be a problem of La'achla V'Layla Hefzit. Ah, says the Or Sameach. So what was the Maskon of the Yerushalmi? Such a good problem. I don't even understand the conclusion of Rav Oshia. Why should it be acceptable? Dr. Vaishin, he says, no. The wine itself is a min, is a type of wine. That's roi l'nachik al gabes ve'ach. There's an external impediment that happens to be that you're now in violation of la'achla v'layla hefsid. So he says that's the lumda shashayla of the Yerushalmi. Do I say practically lamaisa, this is not roi l'gabe mizbeach, and that's the problem? Practically, it's not roi l'gabe mizbeach. Or do I say, no, since it's the type of min that a person can use, so therefore that suffices for the halacha of yayin al gabim mizbeach, which is part of the issue with actually grape juice when it's pasteurized and it's now no longer going to reach certain levels that it's going to ferment. So do we say that that's going to be acceptable or not? There's a big tumult, not for now, Shmuel Zalman or Rabbi Yashiv, of whether or not a person could use grape juice when it comes to kiddush. The problem with this Or Sameach, Rabbi Yisai, is that that's a grape shot. I love it. It's a lumdashib shot. I really love it. There's one problem. Why is the Yerushalmi waking up about this when it comes to Shemitah? This is a great suffix. When it comes to Dalakosos, this is a great shaila for the Yerushalmi to ask where? Every single Friday night. What do you do with Yayin Shel Shviyas? Is that Kiddush wine? That's Roy Lanasech HaGav Mizbeach. This is not a question that's specific to Dalakosos. So Rabbi Yisai, I was struggling with this Yerushalmi, and I was trying to figure out what pshat is. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave me an idea. I asked him for a favor, and he popped something into my head, and I'd like to suggest the following pshat. But I'd like to suggest this following pshat with the following story. And this story is a Geshmaka story. We're all Talmidim, Rabbi Yisai, of Rav Soloveitchik, of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, ultimately their father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, his brother, Yosha Ber Soloveitchik's uncle. These were close family members, everybody said. They all held of each other very, very, very high esteem. But we have to be realistic, Rabbi Yisai, Jews were not as affluent as we are. And they had difficulty making Sdarim. Baruch Hashem, we don't have the same and face the same difficulties. And there was a year that Reb Chaim, their father of Moshe and the Brisker Rav, were struggling how to figure out that they're going to get wine for Dalet Kaisis. That's how poverty-stricken they were. And they didn't have enough money to buy for each of them Dalet Kaisis. But they did have enough money to buy milk for each of them, to be Yoytze Dalet Kaisis with milk. The question was, do we get the milk or should we get just one bottle of wine that's going to be enough for just one person to have the Dalet Kaisis? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, I think the suggestion should be that we should get the wine and one of us should be Yotze Dalet Kaisis. But he explained this to be for the following idea and the following rationale. And that's the background to this Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav is commenting on a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim tells us anyone know where I'm at? Okay, source number 10. I'm Rav Yudom Rishmul. Arba kosas alolu tzarech shiebem kdei mezugas kos yof. Shosan chai yotzel. Shosan bebasachas yotzel. Hishka mehen levonov levneveso yotzel. Dr. Gemara, shosan chai yotzel. Amar rova yedei yayin yotzel. Yedei cheris lo yotzel. Shosan bebasachas rav amar yedei yayin yotzel. Yedei arba kosas lo yotzel. So Rava says, what happens if you have wine that was not diluted? So Rava says, yide yayin yotza, yide cheres lo yotza. Pay attention. So what does that mean? What's the interpretation of those two things? So if you look at the Rashbam there on the Gemara, he says, yide yayin yotza, you were yotze, the ikker chiyuv, but it's not mitzvah min amuvcher, it's not yide cheres, because it's not kishmak wine. Good. Okay, what's shosam v'vasachas? What did I do? I took the four cups of wine and I put it into one big goblet, right? Like one of those souped up, those big goblets. And what? I drank it all in one shot. Says the Gemara, yidei yayin yotza, yidei abrakosis l'yotza. So what is the interpretation there? Says the Rashbam, you were yoytze to the mitzvah of simchas yontif. You have chiyuv on yontif to drink wine. But you weren't yoytze to the mitzvah of having four cups. Pashut. Only had one cup. It was big, but you only had one cup. So you weren't yoytze to the mitzvah of dalet kosos. Good? Everyone with me? Great. Comes along the Rambam, and the Rambam totally has an entirely different interpretation of this Gemara. And it's unclear what the Rambam means. Comes along the Rambam says, second line, V'lo yivchis barabosim revias yayin chai, shasa arba koisis elu miyayin shein amazag, he drinks non-diluted wine, yatsi yedei arba kosos, v'lo yatsi yedei chayres. He drinks what? He drinks the arba kosos, he drinks this wine that's not diluted, he was yotze arba kosos, but he wasn't yotze chayres. What? I understand the Rashbam, Simchas Yontif versus arba kosos, Simchas Yontif versus Mitzvah Min HaMofchar. The Rambam says you were yotze arba kosos, but you weren't yotze chayres. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't the reason why you drink four cups of wine is to demonstrate that you're a king, and you were now liberated from Mitzrayim, and that's the purpose of arba kosos? How do you have a concept of arba kosos without chayres? That is what arba kosos is. And the Rambam says, no, you were yotze the Pesachim, you were yotze arba kosos, but what? You weren't yotze chayres. A pella. What's the Rambam talking about? And then the Rambam continues. He says, "Shosan arba kosos mezugim basachas." And if you have what all of them in one shot in one goblet, says the Rambam, what yotzi yedei cheres v'lo yotzi yedei arba kosos. You were yotzi yedei cheres, but you weren't yotze your arba kosos. Rabbi Rabbi said, "What does that mean? If you were yotze, but your arba, if you weren't yotze your arba kosos, you weren't yotze cheres. Cheres is arba kosos is cheres. What's going on over here?" Comes along the Briskarov and he says, I'm going to explain to you what the Rambam held and why he deviated from the pshat of the Rashbam in that Gemara. The Rambam had an entirely different pshat in Dalet Kosis. And he explains this based on the Shita of Tosis at the beginning of Arvei Pesach. The Shita of Tosis raises the following possibility. The Shita of Tosis asks, why do each and every one of us need Dalet Kosis? Let the Bala Seder have his Dalet Kosis and be mitzi everyone else at the table, just like you did last Friday night in the mitzvah of Kiddush. What's the difference? He has the cup, he'll be mitzi everyone, and great. No headaches, no migraines from the sugar, no passing out. Great, no problem. What's the issue? Why don't we just resolve this? And Taisi says, maybe you're right. Maybe it's okay. And the Briskarov says the Rambam never even raises such a possibility. Why is that? What's this nekudas amachloikas between Taisi and the Rambam? In addition, says the Briskarov, when it comes to Kiddush, the amount that a person has to drink is a mole lugmav. Okay, a cheekful. The Rambam says, if you read the Rambam we just mentioned, the Rambam says you have to drink a what? A revius of wine. You have to drink the cup. Not just a shear of mole lugmav. And l'chadchila, guys, you should drink the whole cup, the Mishnah Berurah says. Why? It's never the shear for Kiddush. Why is Dalet Kosos different? What's going on over here? Something's going on over here. There's something that smells funny over here. Says the Briskarov, the Rambam understood the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is entirely different than Tosfos. The Rambam said, yeah, there's an aspect of Kosho Brocha that exists by Dalet Kosos similar to Kiddush. But there's another layer to Dalet Kosos. You know what that layer is, Rabbi said? That's experiencing Cheres. That's having that sensation, that feeling of emancipation, and demonstrating that feeling through the drinking of the wine. You can't be motzi anyone else in that experience of cheres. So therefore, we can't use the model of Kiddush like Tosfos explains. And therefore, there's another issue that needs to be dealt with over here when it comes to Dalet Kosos. And that's why the shir has nothing to do with the shirim of Kiddush of Mole Lugma. But the shir is what? Is much larger. It's the cupful like a king to experience that other layer of cheres that the Dalet Kosos have in their mitzvah. Said Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, according to this idea of the Rambam, you can only be yotze this with wine. That's cheres. What would be the tzad for us to use milk? That's what's called in halacha when a person doesn't have access to any wine. Chamer Medina. You use a drink that was drank at a party, a chush of a drink, when you don't have any wine for Havdalah and for Kiddush. Everybody say, don't take this out of context. Learn the sugya, learn the halachas. Don't apply it where it doesn't apply. And learn what Chamer Medina is. I can't get into it right now. We don't have time. But there is an idea that if you don't have wine accessible, there's Chamer Medina that sometimes is able to be used. But comes along the Moshe Soloveitchik and says, that's only if you're using the model of Kiddush for the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. Then you could apply the din of Chamer Medina just like Kiddush when it comes to Dalet Kosos. If you're accepting the wavelength of the Rambam, that you need to experience Chayrus, you can't be Yotze with Chamer Medina. You're not going to be able to be Yotze. So said Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Agoinis Dikachap. He said, why do we each need to get milk? Why don't we have and choose one of us that could have the Dalet Kosos? And he'll be Moitzios in that aspect of Koshel Bracha. Just like you could do that by every Kiddush. Ah, you're not going to experience Chayrus. You're not going to experience Chayrus with the milk either. That's following the wavelength of Kiddush. So at least one of us will have the real shebang. Dalet Kosos according to the Rambam and Tosis. And now what? And now we'll have to be Yotze on the Shita of Tosis for being Yotze through that individual who's going to be Mitzios. That's the story, and that's the chap based on this idea that the Briska Rav develops, based on the Rambam's analysis of Yedei Arba Kosos Yotze, but Yedei Cheres Lo Yotze. There's two levels, there's two dimensions to this mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. Wherever Rabbi Yisai, it's this Briska Rav that I'd like to suggest is the answer to our anomaly. Is the answer to our question, is the answer to our issue, is the resolution to everything we've been discussing. Frekter Yushalmi Akashe Maulotzis B'yayin Shel Shvius. We pointed out that the Yushalmi had Akashe specifically Dalet Kosos, not by every Kos of Kiddush. You know why? Because according to the Rambam, like the Rambam demonstrates, Yayin Shel Dalet Kosos is not just a Kos Shel Bracha. It's not just the Kosel Kiddush. It's an experience of what? Of Chayrus. Geschmack. I'm a free man. I am now liberated. Frekti Yerushalmi, oy vavoy. Liberation? Shmita? All of these shilas? All of these restrictions? I can't use it for what? For this? I can't do business with it. I can't be mafsided, I can't use it for detergent, I can't use it for medicine, says the Gemara in Sukkah. All of these restrictions of how I'm able to use Yayin Shel Shmita. Drink it, but nothing else. Stop! We have a lot of halachas when it comes to the Shmita. In fact, the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yisai, perhaps the Yerushalmi was asking Akasha, maybe that is a lack of chayrus. Maybe you are not fulfilling the mitzvah of what? Dalet Kosos! Because what? There's no chayrus. It's missing chayrus. Maskono. It's a great kasha. Maybe this is not chayrus. Wherever Rabbi says, I think the maskono is, but you saw it. We do not understand what chayrus is. We have the wrong goggles and the wrong perspective on what really chayrus is. The Gemara in Gittin somewhere. But I can't find it now. The Gemara in Gittin. 13. I don't know where 13 is. That's my problem. Oh, thank you. Gemara in Gittin raises the following shayla. Can I be zoiche in a shtar shechur on a behalf of an eved? Do we say, hey, I can free you, man. I'm going to accept the shtar shechur on your behalf. And you're already freed even though you didn't accept it. Zochen la'odam shalei b'fonim. Zokter Rabbi Meir? No. You can't. Because Zochin la'adam shaloi b'fanav, be'in chavin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. That is not a schus. You know why? Says the Gemara. Listen to the words of the Gemara. This is the yesod of Leila Seder, Rabbi Yisai. Listen to the words of the Gemara! It's not a schus to give him a shtar shechur. You know why? Because right now, this eved can sleep with a Shivcha Knainis. This Eved doesn't have all the obligations that he has as a Jew. And therefore, says the Gemara, Avda behefkeira nichale. Because at first glance, and when you look around, you think, I'd just rather not have all these restrictions. I'd rather not have these shilas, not have to call the Rav, not have to deal with all these limitations, not have to be handcuffed. And I'd just rather have vacation. You know what the Yerushalmi is saying? Avda be'efkeira nichalet. You look around the world and you think, wow, that guy is living it up. Wow, that person who's not from, he doesn't have any tercha, he doesn't have any toil. Wow, that person who's not in the shir, who's not working hard, who's not pushing himself, he has such a better life. He's a ben chayrin. That's not chayrin, says the Yerushalmi. That's avdus. Avde be'efkeira nichalet. It's only because he's an eved that he has that perspective. You know what he's an eved to? You know what the Kliyakar tells us? You know what he's an eved to? He's an eved to his taivas. He's an eved to his money. He's an eved to wealth, to stature, to public perception, to being accepted. He has no sense of self. He's not liberated. There's a difference between, this is apparently was big hack when the song Hatikva, someone pointed this out to me, Morty Dubin pointed this out to me, Hatikva was originated. That people had a problem that they said, Lios am chofshi. Chofish means just unlock the handcuffs, unlock the chains, and just let me veg and relax. No, that's not what chayrus is. It's not freedom. It's freedom too. It's being zoiche to have a purpose, to realize why you're here. The Rabbeinu Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbeisai before he sent him to be the leader to free Am Yisrael, Tavdun baharazeh. Without a shruis, there is no Pesach. Without a Sfiras HaOimer, there is no Pesach. Why do you think we count Sfira at Leila Seder, the Chassidus Sheminig? Because they're Hainu Hach. Because they're connected. Because it's the same. It's a Cheiris. It's a Bia Ben Choirin. It's a process. It's a Schus. It's not Avdus anymore. It's not Avda Befgeir Nichole. It's stop looking with those goggles. It's Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu. When you wake up to go to a Beis Medrash, every struggle we have, every issue we have, it's all because of this Avdus took a perception. Every trap we fall into, on the computer, with our phones, attaching us, we're Avodim to it. Avda Be'keir of Nikolai. I don't want structure. I don't want limitations. I don't want rules. I don't want regulations. I don't need 613 annoyances with details and halacha that are endless, that's just going to knock me down. What do I want this for? Because you want a purpose. Because you want to grow. Because you want to be someone. Not just vegging your whole life and saying Kaddish on every birthday. Another year gestorben. Another year gone by. That's the yesod of the Yerushalmi. That's the Havamina and the Maskona of the Yerushalmi. Ein cheres gedula mizu. What are you doing? You're taking wine of Shemitah. What does that mean? You know what this wine represents? This wine represents a guy who is slaving for 6 years, trying to make a parnosa, trying to make ends meet. And he walks to the Rabbeinu Shalom and he says, I'm going to sit in Koil this year and just put all my faith in you, the Rabbeinu Shalom. Detaching himself from all of his parnosa, from all of his means of living, and saying, the Rabbeinu Shalom, I am yours. And I'm not talking cheap. I'm going to do it. I am not touching this field. And the TV says, Birchasi, you said it in Parshas Bahar, that's what I'm going to believe in. That's what I'm going to buy into. Sakta Yerushalmi, you think that that's not Chayrus? Tani Raboishia ain Chayrus Ketulu Mizu. That guy is the most free guy you've ever met. That guy is a source of Yiddishkeit like you can never even imagine. That's why Shemitah is what Oz Tirtza Aris HaShav Soseh is going to be able to bring us back to the Geula. What was the Gullus for? Rashi and Chumash says, because they didn't keep Shemitah. What does that mean? They got lost in Parnoso, wealth, materialism, Choymer. They were Avodim. You can't be in his man of Geula. You can't be Beis HaMikdash Deke Yidin if you are not buying into Shemitah. Oz Tirtza Aris HaShav Soseh. Well, the reason we were exiled is because of what? Because of Shemitah. That's the teretz. That's the yisoid. That's the maskana. Wherever Rabbeisai. I remember my wife told me, she had a friend when she used to go out, whatever, in high school. She was in SKA. She had a friend that one of the friends didn't have a curfew. No rules, no problem, just have a good time. Parents just didn't want to say no. One day that child turned to my wife and she told her, "You think that I'm lucky. I think you're lucky. You know why? Because you feel loved. I don't feel loved. Because my parents don't care. They just say, Hefker. They just say, no limitations. They just say, go party as much as you want. Just try to stay out of trouble. There's no structure. I'm craving your life. I want a parent that says no to me. I want a parent that says, I believe in your future. I think that you can get on this Har Sinai in 3 months from now. And that's why I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. An area that's what? That's all full of chamor. Chomrius, like the Maral tells us. Chomrius. Am hadoim lechamor. That's avdus. Avram Avinu turned to the Eved Eliezer and he says, Shvu kanim achamor. Am hadoim lechamor. Yitzias Mitzrayim was all about chomrius. That's why they went out with the donkeys. That's why the mitzvah of Peter Chamor, Pinyon Peter Chamor, is said in Parshas Bo at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because it's leaving the world of chomer. Of everything is just about the way you look, about the goof, about the physical makeup and being brought down to anything spiritual. That's the opposite of chomer, of Ben Chayrin. How do I know this? From a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What's the definition of chayris? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'chol yom v'yoyim baskul yoytzis mehar choyrev. Really? I didn't hear a baskul today. Did you hear a baskul today? So the Baal Shem Tov, there is a baskul. You know what the baskul is? And it rang today. You know what the baskul is, says the Baal Shem Tov? Don't forget this Baal Shem Tov. Any hear her tshuva that you have in your life is coming from Har Sinai, from Har Choyrev. Your hiruri tshuva are all emanating out of this baskel from Har Chayrev. Why is it called Har Chayrev? I in the Maral, I don't have time to get into, that it's focusing on the Churban of Har Sinai, those that detach themselves from Har Sinai. Maral says if you have two boys, one that's successful in learning, one that totally leaves the life of learning, unfortunately the Roshim, it's so much more nicker, the guy who has that potential, and he's not actualizing it. And that's why the mission is so negative and says Har Sinai is Har Chayrev. When the Churban happened, it's Oy Vavoy, that's when the screams happen. The Pasuk says in Mishle, when the Chazir has a Nezim Zohov, a golden ring, it's in its af. It's like an Isha Yof, it's like that gorgeous woman. Who's what? She's got beautiful hair. The beautiful eyes, she's so much potential, but what? Sarah's time. She's just missing any flavor. She has no taste. She can't put herself together. She doesn't look beautiful. That's like a chazir that has that golden ring, that has that piece of jewelry that's sitting there. Where, says the Maharal? Where does the chazir go? Into the mud, into the dung, into the most disgusting places. Says the Maharal, the Chazir represents a self-centered creature more than any other animal that exists. All it's involved with is the taivas of the guf and just instant gratification, physical pleasures, doesn't care what its potential is. And when it has that potential, it's like a golden ring inside that nose of a Chazir. So too says the Maharal in Isha Yafa. What's an Isha Yafa? An Isha that has aura, an Isha that radiates, an Isha that when that woman walks in and everyone looks at her, she's gorgeous and she radiates the room and illuminates the room. So too says the Maharal, that is the koyach of Klal Yisrael. The koyach of Seichel to elevate oneself above the chomer, the guf, the materialistic existence that brings us down and compares us to the Umos HaOlam. Says the Maharal, sometimes you have that Isha Yafa. And she gets so less lost in the trends of society, in the paths of today's world, of contemporary society, that it's mamish like that golden ring in the nose of a pig. The boy said, let's not forget what the Medrash writes in Parshas Shemini. There are four animals the Torah lists that are non-kosher, all parallel to the four arbagoliuses that we've experienced, Klal Yisrael, Paras, Modai, Bovel. And finally, Rabbi Yisai, the last one is Golus Edom that we're in right now. And And which animal is Golus Edom? Is the Chazir. Is that animal that's so self-centered, interested in only its own instant gratification and the physical goof, and has no gvulim and no limitations, and avda behefkeira nichalei. Doesn't have gvulim to the extent that even the physical makeup of the body is undefined anymore and is now up for new definitions. And we are now going to associate with them. We are now going to compare ourselves because our goof happens to look the same for the temporarily until it's changed. That's our identity. Says the Maral, that's such an Isha Yafa, a woman with such potential. Bisaras Tam, she has no flavor. She has no ability to put herself together. She gets lost in society and in the world of where today's day and age, 2022, makes us lose ourselves. Isha Yafa, Bisaras Tam, Chazir, Nezim Zov, Baf Chazir. Wherever Rabbi Sai, that's what the Mishnah goes on to say. Unbelievable. Look at what the Mishnah says. When it quotes that pasuk, Nezem Zov Ba'af Chazir, Isha Yofe V'Saras Tam, V'Oimer V'Haluchos Nese Elikim Hema, V'Hamichtav Mechtav Elikim Hucharis Alaluchos. What's the continuation of the Mishnah? That the Luchos were Charis Alaluchos, that Moshe Rabbeinu engraved onto the Luchos? Al tikre charis elacheris, she'ein lecha ben chayrin elami she'oisik betalmud Torah. Chomisha oisik betalmud Torah tadir, harezim misala. What's the continuation? What's the flow of the Mishnah? How do you read this Mishnah Pirkei Avos? So the Maharal, according to the way he's explaining this pasuk in Mishlei, so the Maharal, now we understand the continuation of this Mishnah. Second page number 8. Rakima Oisik B'Toyra. A person is living a life of Torah. Rabbi Isai, this is obviously putting in the times and the hours and the starim for Torah, but also for living with a flavor of Torah. For a person living with a tam of Torah, a taste of Torah. To be betamped. You ever hear that phrase? This boy's betamped. This girl's betamped. She has a tam of Torah. She's not saras tam. She's not missing the flavor of Torah. Person who involves himself in the koyach haslichli, in that gift that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us above and beyond the yumas ha'olam, that we're not just that physical makeup, that we're not just that chomer, that amadam el chamor, we're not just that eved be'efkei renichalei. No, we're a koyach haseichel, and we involve and we dedicate ourselves to that koyach haseichel, and we elevate ourselves, our existence, that we can detach from this physical world, almost as if that sometimes you don't even need the physical existence, because I live on a different level. The Maharal doesn't say it, Rabbi Yisai, but it's beautiful in the Mishnah of Avos. After a person says he's Choras Alaluchos, She'en Lecha Ben Torah, She'en Lecha Ben Choyrin, Ela Misha Oisek B'Torah, what does the Mishnah continue to say? V'chol Misha Oisek B'Torah, Reza Mis'aleh, this is Aliyah, this is a Ben Aliyah, this is a person who leaves this world, he's not brought down to the surface area, to the Choymer of this existence, to the pathetic moves and trends of this generation, of this avdus, of this slave to taiva, and to all the needs of society. Now I leave this. I'm Mis'ala. I'm a ben chayrin. I'm living in the life of Torah. I might physically be here, but I'm gone. I'm in another place. I'm in a different zone. I'm zoned out. I'm zoned above. I can be in Golus. And I can have the word Goyla, Rabbi Yisai, but like the Baal HaTanya says, the difference between Goyla and Geula is what? One word, one letter. Aleph. I'm with the Rebbeinu Shalom. I'm Miss Aleph. I could experience Geula this year because I could be a Ben Shvius. I could use my Yayin Shel Shemitah. I am no longer an Eved. I am a Ben Chayrin to do this, not just to take a vacation and to leave this world. This is who I am, and this is the way I get satisfaction. This is how I define myself. Maral continues, Rabbi Yisai, and he says, I'll prove it to you. She'en lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisik b'tayra. What's the source?
from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu engraved the letters on the luchos, on the stone. And Chazal tell us, charus means that what? He fully ingrained the letter, ad tekedei kach, that the Gemara Megillah tells us what? Mem v'samach shabaluchos b'neis ha'yomdim. We don't even understand how it exists in the world of gravity, in the world of reality, how those letters were able to stay in place. It was a nes. The only way the letters could really send this message of what a true liberated and emancipated individual is, an oisik b'toira, is if the Torah was not brought down by the world of Chomer and physical existence. Having the letters on top of that block would take away the message and real drill in what it means to be a ben chayrin. It was only being totally chayrus, being totally detached from the world of Chomer, from the world of Guf, from the world of Mitzrayim, from the world of solid, from the world of raw materials, which is Chomer, to give that ultimate tzura, which I don't have time to get into, which is jargon in the Maharal of tzura versus chomer, that's what it means to be a ben Torah. To design the letters in that way that it's totally detached from any physical essence. Totally divorced from that block and that stone. V'hamichtov, said the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. This is the continuation of the Rabbi say, it's a Mishnah. It's not a Maharal vort, it's a Mishnah. Shenemar v'amichtov mechtov elokim she'en lecha ben right chorus aluchos she'en lecha ben chayr al tikra chorus elachayrus totally engraved chayrus she'en lecha ben chayrin use that koyach haseichel and elevate yourself, define yourself in a different way, not in the traps of Mitzrayim in the world of chaymer. Rabbi Yisai, das is yayin shel shvius, das is chayrus. This is the maskon of the Yerushalmi. This is the pshat in our existence. Person does that. A person has shmita in his life. A person detaches himself. A person has the ability to say above and beyond everything else, my love of God is more important than anything else. Rebbetzin Kamenetsky came to my shul. She said something brilliant. A koyach of chinuch. She said to the wives in my shul, she said, you know what you should do? You should walk into a store when you want to get a dress and you walk out of the dressing room that's not so tznius. And you should tell your daughter, I love this dress. But you know what? I love this. I love Hashem more than I love this dress. That's a free man. That's someone who's liberated. That's a ben choyrin. Moirav Raboisai. Half of a fellow, listen to the Siyata Dishmai. And with this I close. My wife happens to be learning as a Torah mate through the zone with another individual that they learn over the phone. They have a chavrusa, and they're learning this unbelievable book that I didn't know. I actually got it out of the library. It's out of print from a rebbetzin in Bnei Brak, and she has a koyach. She is a balas machshava. I mean, I picked up this book. I was talking to my wife about an idea that I had, and she said, look at this, and I want to read with you a passage that she's discussing. Some of the Birchus HaShachar that we wake up every morning and we recite. And she's discussing, why do we start the brachas with Hanoisin L'sech Vivina? Like a rooster that wakes up and screams to present the daybreak to the world. Why that? Why is that the Haskola of brachas? Why is that the Haskola of our day as being Jewish people? And the famous Kasha, the Magen Avraham, I'm sure many of you have thought of. Very good, Kasha. Why do we say Shalai Asani Goy? I mean, come on. And you're going into Chinuch? The first thing they'll tell you, Chinuch 101. You got to be positive. Today's day and age, you got to be, hey, you got it. You're going to be great. You got to be positive. Why so negative? Shalai Asani Goy? Thank you, Hashem, for not making me a Gentile. Sha'asani Yehudi. Thank you, Hashem, for making me a Yid. Why are we so negative when we make the brachas in the morning? Always say, read these words carefully. Don't forget this. And I think her analysis is exactly the insight that we're bringing out of the Yerushalmi. The next blessing expresses thanks to God for not making one a non-Jew. Second, only in unpopularity to the blessing thanking God for not making one a woman, this blessing also raises hackles at its seemingly condescending undertone. Why is it necessary to say that you are glad you are not a Gentile
when you want to express your gratitude for being a Jew, if you are happy to be a Jew, say that. Why put down the then Gentile? And yet, if we go back to our thesis that the morning blessings both formulate as well as express the thought world of the Jew, perhaps we can see a purpose in expressing this blessing in the negative. But he says she builds up that Hanoisin L'Sech Vivina, a rooster, wakes up in a dark world, in a time where it's black outside, and knows that deep down, if you search for it, there's light. There's something you could find. The human being is a confusing paradox of conflicting emotions and drives that pull in different directions. As Jews, we sometimes experience ambivalence towards our Judaism. On the one hand, we rejoice in our chosenness and recognize the gift that the Torah and mitzvahs bequeath to us. But on the other hand, there's an equally loud and boisterous part of us that wants to release itself from the burden of being Jewish. The very human response to the concept of chosenness is thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate the fact that you have chosen me to be your representative in the world, but really, I would just rather slip into anonymity, out of the spotlight, and do my own thing, be it ever so unspiritual or intemporal. On the one hand, we joyously proclaim, Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, how fortunate are we, and how good is our lot. And on the other, we can call the mitzvahs malch shamayim the yoke placed on us by heaven. These seemingly paradoxical sentiments realistically describe the inner landscape of the Jew. Mitzvahs are indeed a yoke of responsibility. What positive thing can one say about 613 obligations clunked on our heads? The mitzvahs can sometimes seem like 613 limitations on our pursuit of pleasure. And yet, even while chafing at the bit, the Jew knows this yoke is the source of everything beautiful and real in his life. Rather than limiting pleasure, then 613 mitzvahs is a source of pleasure. And he knows that the depth of pleasure accessible through the structure of mitzvahs far exceeds the pleasure accessible without mitzvahs. But that doesn't change the fact that the desire to be free and unencumbered in a basic human drive. Knowing that something is good for me doesn't always translate into positive feelings. When a Jew thanks God for not making him a Gentile, he isn't just thanking God for making him a Jew. He is affirming to himself loudly and clearly that while it is a part of him that wants to be free, that would prefer to be unencumbered by 613 mitzvahs, like a non-Jew who is only required to keep seven, that is not the part of himself that he wants to identify with. He affirms that he's using rooster-like wisdom to look beyond the surface, despite the responsibility and accountability that go with being a Jew. He doesn't really want to live his life without the burden the mitzvahs put upon him. True, a non-Jew has his role to fill in God's world plan, but he affirms that he is grateful for having been chosen for the particular mission of a Jew. Yayin Shel Shemitah is the best type of cheres. I no longer want a life of avda ve'efker nichle. I want a life of a true ben chere. And that's what the Yerushalmi is telling us. Hashem, I know you love me. And that's why you put all of these restrictions and all of these obligations and the curfew that you want me to come home with and to be on time. Because you see my potential. Because you told Moshe Rabbeinu that after this Pesach, I will be on Har Sinai. And I will be Mekabel Bahar Hazeh, this Shavuos, and be a Ben Chayrin, Ha'oisek B'Torah, a Ben Chayrin that has flavor, that has tam, an Isha Yafa, not Saras tam, a woman that is beautiful, that has beautiful hair and eyes, that's put together. That's not Saras tam, missing flavor, but inhabits tam, has the tam, attains the tam. Wherever Rabbeisai, realize that Shabbos, something that I never realized before. Shem took away two senses in this COVID. And those are the two senses of flavor. Smelling something and tasting something. Perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, enough of this. Detach yourself already. You're an Isha Yafa Saras Tam. You're going into that world of Chazir and you have that Nezim Zahav. Don't be in that world of mud. Don't be in that world of Chamor. Don't be in that world of Chomer, of Amadoim el Chamor, of an Eved Knaini. Be a Yid. Be an Isha Yafa Sheyesh Bata. have flavor, have taste, grow with it, be a ben chayrin, and Emir Tzah Hashem will be zeiche to inhabit the land of Eretz Yisrael, to bring back Shemitah in its fullest form, and ultimately have the Beis Hamikdash oz tirtza Eretz es shabsoseh. Yeshayahu Rabbi Yisrael. I want to wish everyone a